gospel lesson is the transfiguration. It's a nice illustration in our bulletin cover. And I told Gene, I said, let's do color this week. Every now and then, it looks so much better in color. And why don't you imagine climbing with Peter, James, and John. And every year we climb Mount Monadnock, the second most climbed mountain besides Mount Fuji. And it's always harder for me every year. And I'm like, there's all different types of mountains that people climb, amen? Not just physical, but the metaphorical mountains. And that each step of faith gets you to that mountaintop experience, that summit. But I hear these words. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be bringing this Bible for the, let's see how many, this will be the fourth time this Bible will go to Africa. And I lost this Bible. It's the one I put on the bumper of a pickup truck and it drove away. Lost for like 3 months and then miraculously found and shipped back in a box covered with all these Rwandan stamps. But it is a special sign. I love Sunshine Sunday because it's just a little more comfortable. No tie, you know. And this is a shirt that was made. You go to a market in Rwanda, in Kigali, and you pick out the fabric. And then you come back in a couple hours later after they've measured you. And there you go. I get my nice shirt. I love the elephants. Amen. So next week I'll be preaching a sermon entitled Seminem Deo Kwa Hesu, which is Say Yes to Jesus in Swahili. And I'll be preaching, and it'll be translated in Swahili. And it was humorous. 3 years ago, we had that terrible snowstorms. We left, and there was a snowstorm. I mean, right before we left, a snowstorm. We left, and then a big snow. I didn't miss a Sunday, because church was canceled that Sunday when we were in Rwanda. And I remember I said, when we left, the snow was up to here. And the guy translating went like this, because there's no word for snow in Swahili. And then Mark Neal said, say heavy rain. That's what he said. But I was told that there would be people walking one way, 8 miles, to hear me preach, to hear the word of God. And so I want you to think of us gathered next week on the 18th in the Congo and all these orphan kids. And we have about 300, 400 people that will be there to hear the word of God. And this will be the message, say yes to Jesus, and how important it is to say yes to Jesus every single day, not just once. You know, I think it's beautiful that this only comes days after Jesus said to Peter, James, and John, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of people. They said yes and started following, and then the six days later, they climb this mountain, and they get to see Jesus in full divinity, just shining, brilliant, up on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. And Peter says, it's good for us to be here. And I love that line. That's like coming to church and saying, it's good for me to be here today. Amen? Can I hear an amen? Amen. That this is a good place to be in the presence of Jesus and be blessed. They were terrified at the same time. Good to be here, but also terrified. They didn't know what to make of it. There they saw Moses and Elijah, who they know were both dead men, that they Moses would have died 1,400 years before this, and Elijah would have been 900 years. And there they are talking with Jesus alive. And I think that's so powerful that because they said yes to climb the mountain, they get to see that dead men live. Amen. That this is one of the great gifts that Jesus offers, abundant life and eternal life. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But you have to keep saying yes to Jesus. You know, you say no and yes with your words, but also your actions every single day. Can you be a person of faith every single day? Can you say yes to faith, yes to love, yes to Jesus? And it's kind of like a marriage. Remember I mentioned at Emily Scheffelbarger's wedding, I did this, and you guys didn't even know it, Lisa and John, but right before Emily's wedding, there was this older couple that had been married 32 years. I just happened to meet them, Christine and Jerry, and their son-in-law said, "You guys should renew your vows." I said, "You want to do it? Let's do it right now." And they did it right then and there. And they said yes again. But do you know that 9 years ago, we went to the Grand Canyon, and I surprised Nancy. Say, on the rim of the Grand Canyon, my brother was all set and everybody knew it. And I bent down like this and I said, "Will you marry me again?" Nancy said yes. And we actually, right there, beautiful vista, beautiful view of the Grand Canyon, we said our vows again. We renewed our vows. And it makes me think about how important it is that you don't just say yes to your spouse so many years ago, but every single day you make that commitment, you say yes to them, that you will love them for better, for worse. And so for us today, it's an opportunity, because we live in an area, you know, you are now entering the mission field when you leave the church parking lot. That sign is strategic because we are in the mission field. Do you know that they've had Gallup polls and Pew Research polls that they poll different states and they ask questions. The question was, is faith in God an important part of your life? All the New England states are dead last. Massachusetts, only 33% said yes. So we're in a place where a lot of people say no. It's hard to be the people that say yes when it comes to faith. Amen? Especially when you're in high school and you might be the only person. And I think it's beautiful that the highest states of faith, when they answer the question, they say it's 77%, they say yes, and it's an important part of our life, are the poorest states in the whole nation. The number one state of faith is Alabama, then Mississippi, then Arkansas, then West Virginia. That says something, doesn't it? That the people that say yes to Jesus more than those who say no are the poorest of folks. So today's a day to reclaim the fact that you have to say yes every single day. We can't stop saying it. Peter, James, and John had to say yes to climb that mountain. Paul had to say yes when Jesus knocked him down off his high horse. And he's encouraging the people, the early church in Corinth. Corinth was so bad, such a sinful place. You take Las Vegas and put it on steroids. They had temples everywhere, and a small little church is trying to survive. It was a shipping port, all these sailors. They had a humongous temple to Aphrodite, the goddess of love, that had over 1,000 prostitutes 24 hours a day. They had temples to false gods everywhere you could go. There was opportunities to say yes to this god, yes to that god, yes to this god, yes to that. But do you think it's anything different than our own world today? You might not say yes to gods, but you say yes to things that are not godly. And today's a day to say, you can't just say no to sin. You have to say yes to Jesus. Amen? How important that is. I'll tell you a story. So it was so bad in Corinth that there was a Greek term called Corinthianize. And if anything was Corinthianized, the definition for this slang term meant that it was immoral and drunken and filled with debauchery. That's what Corinthianize meant. So that's what this little church is trying to survive in this very sinful place. But it makes me think of how difficult it is. It's a story of a teacher of grammar school kids. And nowadays, teachers will actually teach. One time, even at Westboro High School, Shaw had a teacher that disparaged faith. That if you believed in God, you really weren't that smart. And this is sort of a funny story of a teacher saying, "I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. It's a waste of time." And all these were young kids. And then she goes, "How many of you are atheists?" And of course, students will just raise their hand with their teachers. And most of the kids raised their hand, except this one little girl named Lucy. who kept her hand down. And she came up and said, Lucy, you really believe in God? And she says, yes, I go to church. I hear that Jesus loves me, and I believe in it. And she says, why do you believe? She said, well, my mother's a believer. My mother's a Christian. My father's a Christian, and I'm a Christian. And the teacher says, if your mother was a moron and your father was a moron, what would that make you be? And she said, an atheist. That's a little harsh, but it's a story. It's not a real story, just an illustration. How important it is to whatever age you are, that you say, I'm a believer, I believe. Doesn't mean you have it all figured out. I know there'll be people getting on that plane to Africa that have no idea, but they said yes, and they're on the plane to mission. Same with ASP, Appalachia Service Project. There are people who go that have not said yes to Jesus, but they're all about mission and love, and they get to a place where they're serving and giving, and they meet someone of faith, and they see relation. When they say yes to loving relationship and kindness and mercy and peace and justice, all of a sudden they're being swirled up in this, like being on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they say, it's good for us to be here. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen. They said yes to being part of mission, and before you know it, they're feeling God's love. But I want you to, you know, in closing, understand that long before anybody ever said yes to Jesus, God said yes to you. Amen? And I want you to hear this. For you to really say yes to Jesus, you have to. Now, the other day, and I often cry just thinking about how much we love our dogs. And we have two older dogs that are getting along in years. And you know that time is not that far away. Hard for them. They don't do steps. We have one dog that just now will not do steps. I had to build a little ramp for her to get down into the backyard. And you know they're sore, and every now and then Nancy goes, does Allie need a pilly? And we give her a little pilly, and that helps. And the other two dogs we have are running, you know, or circles around the old dogs. But I let them outside, and they went outside, and I was looking out the window, and I saw Genesis. I call her Jenny. And she's rolling around, her tail's wagging, and she's finding some spry energy, even though she's 12, 13. We don't know how old she is. We rescued her from Indiana. She was lost. All we knew is that she came from train tracks and lived on her own. And when she got us, when we got her, she was just scared of everything. But she was outside, and her tail's wagging, and and I was just loving on her. I love that dog. And I was thinking, she doesn't know I'm looking at her. I'm thinking, God does the same thing with you and me. And it's called prevenient grace. It's before you understand that God loves you, that God is loving on you. Before the prodigal son could turn back and say yes to his dad, that dad was saying yes to his son. I'm going to love you forever and ever. Nothing will ever separate me from loving you. And the way that Jesus answered the question is, when we ask God, can I be loved? Could I be forgiven? Could I experience purpose and meaning in my life? Jesus says from the cross, yes. That's the answer to the question of life, is Christ on the cross. You know, right before they climbed the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus taught the disciples, and the heading in most Bibles is the way of the cross. He tells them about sacrifice and that he'll go to Jerusalem and give his life and die and rise again. They don't hear the rising again. They just know their leader's going to give his life. And how important it is to realize before you say yes to Jesus, he's already said yes to you. Amen. And how beautiful it is at the end of the Gospel of John, the resurrected Jesus comes to Peter, who had pledged, I will never forsake you. I'll go with you to the very end. I'll die with you. Three times he denies Jesus when asked, you're one of his followers, aren't you? No, and each time louder and more vigor. And in the Gospels, the third time he says, no, I'm not one of his followers. He makes eye contact with Jesus while Jesus is being beaten and tortured. Now, when he comes back to the shore of Galilee and Jesus looks at Peter, all he asks Peter, do you love me? It's nothing about, do you know the Hebrew Bible, Old Testament? Can you quote Scripture? Do you know theology? Do you know Christian doctrine? Do you love me? I hope we're a church that we can say, yes, I love Jesus. And say it when we're out there in the world. And just trust that God's going to take our yes and make something beautiful. So we're going to go now to our prayer time. And we have a number of prayers. We do want to lift up Earl Hutt, who's 91 today. And Earl Hutt guy, right, is talk about Mr. Consistent. Talk about persistence in the faith. He has said yes to Christ, he and Connie together, every single day for years and years and years. The trouble with mountaintop experience is that you can't live up there. You have to live in the real world where you have to say yes when it's hard and you don't see Jesus. But every single day, Earl Hutt, 91 today, gives his life to Jesus. And how many people has he helped through the years say yes to Jesus? Amen? So we're going to pray today. We're not going to take any other prayer requests. I thank you for helping me say yes to Jesus every day. I hope I can do the same. That's why we're here, to encourage each other to climb together. It's so hard to climb a mountain all by yourself. But I do know that God has a plan. When God says, the Heavenly Father, this is my Son, I love him. Listen to him. And Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Jesus said those words to Nicodemus, that if anyone who would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Amen? Listen to that and say yes. Lord's going to play a little bit. I ask you to just think about the invitation. Last week up in Monadnock, there was a number of young people. There's an invitation every time we go. And I want to be an invitational church. Every Sunday you have an opportunity to say yes. Not just once, that you look back. Today, you commit yourself to Christ. And you know that your sins are forgiven. You're saved by grace and grace alone. You know, I always thought when they came down the mountain, how could they forget that they saw Jesus like this? How could they? They were there. They saw Moses. They saw Elijah. They saw heaven. And then when they come down, they didn't understand the mission of mercy and sacrifice. And we forget too, but thank God the risen Lord forgave Peter. Jesus forgives you when you don't say yes. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Can I hear an amen? You have your own prayers. You're hurting. People that are grieving. The night his grandfather died. There are others that are hurting on the inside. They don't let on. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you that every day when we're challenged to have faith and to witness to the faith, all we have to do is say yes. We don't have to have everything figured out. Lord, we don't have to think that we're special or have it all together or talented. All we have to do is say yes to you, and then you make us beautiful by your love. So forgive us for not saying yes, for saying yes to so many other things in the world. Help us know you love us from the cross. You said it is finished, and you have won the victory over sin and death, and we must live in that victory. And be with those who are struggling, who don't know how awesome it is to be with you, that it is good for us to be here right now to hear your word, to hear Paul's encouragement to the people in Corinth, to let the light shine out of darkness through those who have accepted you, that you've given us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that we won't veil our faces like Moses. We will let people know that we've been to the mountaintop, that we've spent time with you in prayer on bended knee, and we've experienced your saving grace. We've heard your word, and we've responded. So all this, Lord, we lift up to you with our own prayers. And thank you for the Sunshine Sunday. Thank you for moving us to be in mission wherever we go, whether it's Africa or down in Appalachia or at Dunkin' Donuts, in all of the locations here in Westboro, or wherever you send us, Lord, we thank you, God, that we can be people of faith and of grace and of mercy and love. And just bless all the prayers that we lift to you as we say yes to you again and again, because you have said yes to us to give us life abundant and eternal, as we pray your prayer saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. Let's stand now. Let's join together. And how blessed are we with Lloyd Duggar? Can we clap? Wow. He works all week at the Faith School as a music director. He's got 3 kids, 2 young kids, and a wonderful wife. He works so hard. We just are blessed that he's with us as a brother in the faith. Let's stand now. Let's sing together. Let us rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Amen.